where you sail.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title for today is Love Without an Asterisk.
Close enough.
Yeah. An asterisk.
A little star symbol. We'll just call it the star symbol.
Yeah.
I hear you. I want to start the second half. I told you at the end of the first half of the show that we talked about the character of God being love without an asterisk, and we spend a lot of time talking about that's how God operates. That's who God is, right? But the rubber really meets the road when we realize that, again, as people who call ourselves Christ followers, we're called to do the same thing, which is a whole lot harder, okay? But I want to read for you. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture here from 1 John chapter 4. And we're starting the 18th verse, and I'm going to read a few verses to you. And I want you to listen to this, because this is actually a pretty tough teaching. Okay? So 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. If I was at church about now, I would say, this is the word of the Lord, and we would respond, thanks be to God. But this is one of those, we'd get the whole, thanks be to God. This is a tough one.
Come on.
Because, like I said, I want to be able to put a distinction, I want to put an asterisk, on loving God and loving one another. Okay, so I can love God. I love God. I love what God does. I respect the Lord. All those things, right? I want all that. But when John tells his community, and yes, I do believe when he tells his community, he's telling us as well. If you claim to love God, but you don't love your brother or sister, it's not, well, that's tough, or yeah, that's okay, or well, it happens. You're a liar, is come what on. It says.
Come on.
That's tough. I mean, how many of us love to be called a liar? You're a liar. I mean, remember when you were kids and you and your siblings would argue, you're a liar. You're not telling the truth, right? Nobody likes that. John puts it straightforward and says, no, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother and sister, you're a liar. In other words, John is saying, if you don't love your brother and sister, you don't love God. Now, then there will be people who will go, well, I love my brother and sister, my biological or the kids I grew up with. No, that's not what that means. Mm-mm. Let's take a break here. Let's start over. Because here's the bottom line, and it's a strange bottom line. But I refer you back, I mentioned in the first part of the program, I mentioned the prodigal son story. All of the images, in fact, some of the best images found in the parables, and especially when you get to some of the theological arguments of Paul, are centered around a very familial image. That we are part of the family of God.
Come on.
That we are God's children. We're sons, we're daughters of God. And therefore, that makes all of us who call ourselves Christian brothers and sisters. I used to do a camp where our small group time was called Basic Time, and it was brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And we told that story almost every time we'd get together for the very first time about we are brothers and sisters. We come from different backgrounds. We grew up in different places. We all have different earthly parents and all, but ultimately, we are part of the bigger family, and that family is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. And then you say, well, but people who aren't Christian, they're not our brothers and sisters. Well, here's what's interesting about that. If God is truly searching for the least, the lost, the lonely, and God is calling them home just like he called the prodigal, and even the older son here, who started off good and then ended up, you know, being the prodigal himself, God still asked him to come home. If God wants his children to come home, and if we are to follow and do the will of God, that means that we want those lost children to come home, then they are definitely, by definition, potential brothers and sisters. We want them to be part of the bigger family. We desire for them to be part of the bigger family. And if you doubt that, go read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. God desires a relationship with all humanity. Not wants or hopes or desires. That's God's character. And if that's God's character, then that should be our character.
Come on.
And so our character has to be reflected in our action. Let me just tell you, it does not take a genius to turn on the TV, to open up a little social media. I don't care which social media you're on. It doesn't take a genius. If you're watching this right now, this program on Facebook, it won't take you a few clicks of your mouse to find an article where there's a lot of not love going on, where there's a lot of asterisks going on. It's not going to take a long time for you to find someone speaking ill of someone else. And before you go, well, that's them, always be careful, because oftentimes the people doing the most and putting the most asterisks are the very people whose God loves without one. I am not, I'll just share with you, I am not a person who thinks like social media is evil. Now, I know there are people who do. I think there are great parts to it. I love the fact, like, you know, I can check in, and I've been out of high school, well, since, I'm not going to tell you how long. Long time. long time. And I love the fact that my high school class has a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and I get to keep up with them. I don't know most of them anymore. I haven't been around them in 20 plus years. We're going to stop there. but, you know, I still like to see how they're doing and, you know, where they're working. And, you know, like when one of them, their mother died, she was a band mom when I was in high school. And so I sent them just a note and just said, I just want to thank you for your mom took care of me when I, you know, and things like that. I love that. That's the best side of social media, right? I love the fact that sometimes, you know, I love that churches now are using it to broadcast worship and to even do prayer requests over it. And even at our church, we're doing a Bible study over Facebook. And I love that stuff, right? That's the good uses of it. Twitter, I love that you can get information out in 144 characters. I think that's cool. I'm too old for Instagram or Snapchat, but I like they're pretty cool too. I have one. I don't even know how to use it. But it is what it is. But all the people who go, well, it's just evil. Social media is just evil. Here's the deal. On their own, they're not.
Come on.
It is the way that we choose to use them. When we choose to stand behind a computer screen to say something hateful and act like it doesn't matter. I've told you on this program before, and I will continue to argue it, the one little truism that we teach children that I completely think is false. I mean, unequivocally, I would not teach it. I will not teach it someday to my grandchildren. is that little quib that goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I completely disagree with that. Words can sting. Words can hurt. I don't like that. Can you tell I don't like that quip at all? It's not my favorite for a number of reasons. But that is, we have to be better about how we speak to one another. Mm-hmm. Again, if we're going to love without asterisks, then it's okay to disagree. We can have a disagreement on even some of the biggest issues. But that doesn't give us license to be hateful. When people start bringing things up, you know, obviously right now there's a lot of turmoil in churches, and even in my own denomination there's turmoil. I remind people that church arguments are not new. Okay? Acts chapter 15, the Council of Jerusalem. And let me tell you who the players were, just in case you have not read Acts 15 recently, though you should because it's great. The principals on the different sides of the argument. Peter and James and Paul. Now, other than Jesus, it doesn't get much bigger than those three names in the first century. Okay? Other than Jesus himself. Peter and Paul literally had a theological, philosophical disagreement. And quite frankly, the resolution of that is still in effect today, some 1950, almost 2,000 years later. We are still dealing with the ramifications of the decision made at that council when Peter and Paul were on opposite sides of an argument. But if you recognize that and you see that they still kept focused, even in their disagreement, on the ultimate goal was to spread the love of God, then they found a way to disagree in love. They didn't put an asterisk where there didn't need to be one. They didn't go, well, everybody who follows what Paul is saying, they're evil. They're the spawn of Satan. Everybody who follows Peter, they're so backwoods and they're so out of touch and hear you those words lately? No. They had a disagreement. They worked it out. I don't ever see in Scripture where to be united, you have to be unanimous. You just have to be united. You can disagree. Happens all the time. But can you disagree in love? You see, that's where it really, you know, the whole rubber meets the road. Is can you actually do this? Can you lead with love instead of leading with hate? Can you look at someone that you adamantly disagree with and still recognize that they are a brother and sister in Christ? And if they're not, they are a potential brother and sister in Christ. Because if you look at someone as a brother or sister in Christ, and you say the things that you say, how can you say them? How can we treat people that way? One of the things that I often tell people, and I do it jokingly, but the reality is I really do mean it. You know, when people say, well, what in the Bible are you sure was said by Jesus, or what was real and all? I tell people, look, if you don't know anything else, protect the widows and the orphans. That seems to be a theme that goes all the time, right? that one's a good thread. If you don't believe anything else, take care of the widows and the orphans, right? And I say that because they're the first people forgotten. Jesus didn't forget them. At his birth, the lowliest of the night shepherds are the ones who showed up. Mary Magdalene followed him. A woman spoken of in Scripture with incredible words about her faithfulness. Matthew, a daggum tax collector. Syrophoenician woman. I mean, she's got two strikes, right? She's not from, not Jewish, and she's not a man. Lepers. Mm. The blind. The lame. These are the people that Jesus went to. So why don't we? Why do we put up such a front when it comes to love? Oh, you're a Republican, or oh, you're a Democrat, or oh, you voted for this person, or oh, you voted for that person, or oh my gosh, you believe that, or oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't believe this. Or we start building these barriers and they become so rigid and so deep, and the asterisks become larger and stronger and larger and stronger. And the truth is, for me, what saddens me the most is when it really is brothers and sisters in Christ. And when that happens, I can't help but go back to that passage in 1 John. If you don't love your brother and sister, you're a liar if you say you love God. Now look, that's sometimes a mirror for me. Sometimes I haven't always loved my brother and sister. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I've had to repent of that. I've had to tell the Lord, you know, I'm sorry I treated that person that way. I didn't treat that person with the respect that they deserve. I didn't treat them as a brother or sister. I didn't treat them the way I want to be treated. I didn't love one another as I love myself. I didn't do that for them. I have to repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness. We have to do that sometimes, right? We're not perfect. We do that. But boy, when I think about those times when I failed to love one another, when I failed to love my brother or sister, my mind was about as far from God as it could be. You know? There's some truth to that passage. There's some truth to that comment. It's a hard one, but there's some truth to it. Mm-hmm. Because if I can get to the point where I start hating you or getting mad at you or screaming at you or treating you as less than, that love of God thing's probably pretty buried deep at that moment. Because if I was thinking about the love of God, we might disagree, but I treat you as a person of love, as a brother or a sister. I think that's, for me, where we have to do better. As the people of God, we can't ask everybody else to do it right when we are unwilling to. We can't ask everybody else to figure it out if we ourselves are not willing to figure it out. We can't ask the world to disagree in love when we refuse to do the same thing. And we can't ask people to love as Jesus loves if all we do is write hate speech, treat people poorly. Because if we say we love God and we don't love our brother and sister, remember what John said, you're a liar. And so I bring all that back to say this. Love without an asterisk is nothing short of the love of God. It's who God is. I've looked. Many people have looked. You know, that whole God so loved the world thing, right? Surely can't be the whole thing. It is. Mm-hmm. Even them. But what about, no, them too. Well, surely not, no, them too. And if I'm the person of God that I claim to be or hope to be, if you are the person of God that you claim to be and hope to be, if we who call ourselves the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ, are who we claim to be, then we have to be more intentional. And we have to be better at putting that love into action. I started off by telling you the baseball story. What should have been a great celebration. Roger Maris, 61. He struggled with that the rest of his life. Just because of an asterisk. But on a bigger picture, how many potential brothers and sisters are struggling today because of the asterisks that we've put towards love? You see, that's the conversation I don't want to have with the Lord Almighty. I don't want that conversation someday. Well, you said you loved one another. You said you loved all the people that I love. But did you? I think it's time we admit we have love with asterisks. But we shouldn't. Love is universal. Love is agape. Love is unconditional. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it always feels exactly right. But love is not a feeling. It is a state of being. And if we can show the world that same love that God professes in Jesus Christ, maybe I'm naive. So be it. Maybe I'm a dreamer. So be it. But I think that kind of love truly does change the world. And what I would say now is, I'd sure like to know what that looks like, though. So, I leave us with that. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to claim to love God and not love my brother and sister. I want to be the Christian person that God called me to be. I want to be the child he has trained me up to be. I want to be the disciple and the apostle that he has called me to be and called all of us to be. I want to have that kind of character. And that character of God is to love without an asterisk. And I believe that's our call too. To love without an asterisk. Amen.
Amen. Would you like to pray to close us out, brother?
Gracious God, I don't want us to be the same people who just keep saying the right words and not doing it. I don't want to be that person anymore. Forgive us for the times when we have not treated each other with love. Fill us with your Spirit so that the next time we do it better. Help us to love like you love. And we thank you for your example of love, our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother, Pastor Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.